From Michigan Radio, this is State of Opportunity. I'm Jennifer Guerra. There has been very little talk of poverty during the presidential campaign, and yet nearly a quarter of all American children live in poverty. Since the candidates haven't been too candid on where they stand on policies that directly impact kids from low-income families, we decided to take a look ourselves. Now, kids, of course, don't get to vote in this election or any presidential election until they're 18. So imagine how excited these 7-year-olds are when they find out that for one day and one day only, they get to pretend to be 18.
One child at a time will be going in our voting booth. You're going to mark, stick your ballot in the box. You don't need to make any more marks on your ballot. All right, I'm going to start with Vincent's table.
Full disclosure, that is my cousin, Veronica Hickey. She teaches second grade at a school in Wayne County, where about a third of the kids qualify for free or reduced lunch. When I heard she was conducting a mock presidential election in her classroom, I could not resist. I asked if I could visit the classroom. She said yes, and she even allowed me to do some exit polling.
I think Obama should be the president because I like the way he thinks about the rules.
Mitt Romney. Because he can help with our taxes and stuff.
Barack Obama, because he makes everything fair.
Mitt Romney, because he is good with money.
Now, before we talk results, let's take a look at the candidates' positions in three key areas that directly impact kids: early education, health care, and
taxes and stuff.
Let's start with early education and our first expert, Hannah Matthews at the Center for Law and Social Policy, a nonpartisan advocacy group for low-income families. She says when it comes to early education, we really haven't heard specifics from either candidate.
Particularly given the conversations that have been going on around jobs and on the economy, child care, early education, these are really critical investments. Both in the economy as well as to help parents go to work to be able to support their families. So to talk about helping our economy recover and not be focused on early childhood, I think, is a real mistake.
To figure out where President Obama stands, Matthews says we can look at his past budgets. Obama has increased funding for early child care subsidies and Head Start, and early education was part of Obama's education reform initiative, Race to the Top. We don't have a lot of specifics from the Romney-Ryan ticket either, but according to groups who have analyzed Romney's proposals, if Romney stays true to his campaign promises to cut taxes, cap federal spending, and increase defense spending, he'll have to make deep, deep cuts to discretionary programs like Head Start. Governor Romney also wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, which brings us to our second area, health care, and our second expert, Erwin Redlener. He is with the Children's Health Fund, a nonprofit he calls decidedly nonpartisan.
So here's the reality. So the Affordable Care Act actually offers a very significant set of benefits for children, and particularly poor children.
Candidate Romney says he will work to repeal Obamacare on day one if he's elected, but has offered few details on what he would replace it with. Romney also wants to reduce Medicaid spending and turn it over to the states in the form of a block grant. Redlener calls that idea, quote, a disaster.
So many states are now struggling economically, and what we can envision is in bad economic times, states severely cutting back on Medicaid resources, fewer poor families and low-income families will have access to critical children's health care services.
And now it's time for our third key area.
Taxes and stuff.
I know. I can practically hear the collective sigh through the radio at the mere mention of tax policy. But Elaine Mogg, a senior research associate at the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center, is here to boil it down for us.
President Obama wishes to extend for low-income families the 2001 tax cuts, and he also wants to extend some important pieces of legislation that are collectively termed stimulus legislation.
Okay, let's pause right there. Now, there are two pieces of legislation she's talking about, the Earned Income Tax Credit and the Child Tax Credit. Both impact poor and near-poor families, and both are refundable, meaning those families get a check back from the government even if they don't earn enough to pay taxes. President Obama, during the Recovery Act of 2009, made it so more people qualified for the credits and in some cases received more money back. Governor Romney, like Obama, would likely keep the 2001 tax cuts in place for low-income families, but would roll back the refundable tax credits to pre-stimulus levels. Elaine Mogg, our tax policy analyst, says Obama's increase in refundable tax credits will cost the federal government about $9 billion.
But all of these programs together, that is not where huge tax dollars are. They're meaningful for low-income families, but in the larger picture, this is not how you're going to solve the deficit problem.
It was hard to find any nonpartisan folks to say Romney's plan was better for the poor. So I called up a number of right-leaning foundations and organizations, all of which said pretty much the same thing, which is this. Romney's plan to lower tax rates for everyone, rich and poor, will result in stronger economic growth. But exactly how much growth? I put that question to the Heritage Foundation's Curtis Dubé.
That's where the academic debate lies. It's not in, the question isn't whether lower marginal tax rates encourage economic growth. We know they do. The question is how much will they encourage growth? But we know the direction, and we know that we'll get stronger growth, and we know that will help the poor.
Okay, we've heard from the experts. Now, back to our voters.
So, let's tally these up. We have a Barack Obama vote, please. We have another Barack Obama vote. Mitt Romney?
Oh. Yay!
Barack Obama?
Yeah. You can find the results from Mrs. Hickey's second grade mock election on our website. And while the kids clearly had different opinions on who should be the next president of the United States, they all agreed on one thing. It feels good to vote.
It felt amazing.
Fantastic. Exciting.
Fun.
Really, really good.
Awesome.
Magical.
It felt like we were voting for real.
For State of Opportunity, I'm Jennifer Guerra.